Amen. Are the songs getting faster or am I getting slower? A lady passed out at one point there. I was hyperventilating. Every day. I had to sit down at the end just to catch my breath. And Mark keeps saying that's a picture of me. So, thanks. Okay, so Christianity for Dummies. You come to the right place. No, I'm only kidding. So tonight, continue our series of Christianity for Dummies. I'm going to preach on finding peace, how to find peace. And Martin said to me, oh, do you fancy doing one of the Christianity for Dummies series on the 8th? I said, yeah, no problem. I thought about it and I thought, yeah, how to find peace. And I haven't had peace since. It's just one. I thought, is God having a laugh or something? Just been a bit of a mess, but there you go. We are sometimes. But can I read that? Almost. Okay, so there's three things I want to cover. Three common sayings to do with peace. One is peace of mind. One is peace on earth. And the other is peace with God. The first one is peace of mind. It's interesting. He will be their peace. God will be our peace. He brings us peace. There's only peace in God, nothing else. There's all sorts of ways to try and find peace, isn't there? People into all sorts, yoga and transcendental meditation and all sorts of things, where, you know, relaxation techniques. And they do it in schools now, you know. They do it in kids' classes, meditation and yoga and stuff like that. Amazing, isn't it? It used to be, you know, assemblies and praying for kids at the beginning of the day. Now it's, you know, yoga and stuff like that. Crazy. Our minds are full. 100% capacity. There's so much information in the world, isn't there? Access to all sorts of information. You can find out anything. You can Google just about anything, can't you? You want to find something out? You Google it. All my students, all their essays, all from Google, I'm sure. And it's just loads and loads of information coming at us all the time. It's not that the hard drive, if you like, of our brain is clogged up. It's the entrance. It's everything going in, the sort of, not the subconscious, the real conscious stuff, the stuff that you're taking at you all the time. A bit like, you know, if you're driving a car at night, you've got to really concentrate hard, haven't you? Got to concentrate hard. It's hard work. You're concentrating really hard. You arrive at the place. You don't arrive tired because your brain's all over the place, been working hard at it. But you get access to information, tons of it. On your phone. You can access anything on your phone. And one of my students was on the phone. I said, what are you doing? Are you on your phone? He said, yeah. I said, what are you looking at? He said, I'm looking at your lecture notes on the internet. I was like, oh, okay. You can access anything, can't you? I said, good lad. He's probably texting his mum or something. I don't know. But there's all sorts of stuff. And we think we have the capacity to filter out the good and the bad. So what we do is we watch all sorts of stuff. We watch good stuff. Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah, that's right. You watch something not so good. Oh, that's terrible, that. But it's going in. It's going in. I don't know. This might just be me, so this might be a terrible moment of confession for me where you all go, sinner. But if I watch a film, right, I was telling my wife this the other day, and she thought that was weird. But anyway, I'm going to tell you. Don't tell anyone. If I watch a film, right, at the end of the film, right, my brain doesn't switch off. I go over and over and over the film again in my mind, redoing it. And if I'd done that wouldn't, you know, I'd have changed it this way. And if I'd been writing that film, I'd have changed the ending and stuff like that. And my mind just goes over and over. Does anybody else do that? Oh, a couple of people. Just anyway, two other lunatics in the house. Right. Okay. It's difficult to switch off. Newspapers, computers, television, and phones. You know, in the 1960s, sociologists were doing some research into the things that would destroy marriages and families. And in the top 10 of things was TV. And it was to do with, the reason they said TV was going to be bad for families and marriage is because it was going to rob families of family time. Time together. Time with your husband or wife. Time with your children. I mean, they were writing in the 1960s. I bet they never realised what the content was going to be. The content of TV can rob you of peace. You can put the telly on. There's all sorts on there. Murder. adultery, homosexuality, lying, cheating, stealing, slander, violence. And that's just any soap opera, isn't it? Isn't it? It's just all there. It's called drama. Or light entertainment. It just clogs our mind with loads of information. Constant, worldwide information. But what we need is the peace of God, the God of peace. May the Lord of peace himself give us peace. When you're struggling and you haven't got peace of mind, do you ask God to give him your peace? Or do you, like most people, try to sort it out or compartmentalize it in your mind when actually only the peace of God can come to us? The word shalom is peace, isn't it? It's translated in the Bible in lots of different ways. It means lots of different things. It means to be whole. It means to be full. It means favor. It means perfect. It means safety. All these different things. It means lots of other things as well. But shalom means a whole load of things. And God is all of those things to all of us. Only he can bring us the peace that we really crave for. We kind of rush from one thing to another, don't we? You know, you get up in the morning, you've got your day planned out, you're going to work or whatever it is you do that day, you come home and you have your tea and you kind of have your little routine, whatever that is, and then you go to bed and you do it again and again and again and again and again. And do you ever have peace? Very rarely. One of the commandments, the fourth commandment, is to have a Sabbath, have a day off. Do you give yourself a day off? That's a challenge, isn't it? If anybody's really struggling sometimes and wants some prayer or something, I often say to people, do you ever take a day off? And most people, I haven't got time to take a day off. Most people are rushing from one thing to the next. So how do we get this peace of mind that I'm talking about? We have to declutter our minds. We have to get rid of it. Like tidying up the house or whatever. You know, Marion's a declutterer, whereas I'm a kind of a clutterer. I keep things, you know, and, well, it's not that I keep things, it's just I don't throw them out, if you see what I mean. And I'll be looking for my shirt. Marion, have you seen that really, really nice shirt that I like, the black and white stripe? Charity bag. There's nothing wrong with it. You've had it a year. But it was my favourite shirt. It's just kind of decluttering things. So if I see a big plastic bag somewhere in the house, I know that in there, probably my clothes. And we need to declutter our minds in the same way. We need to get rid of stuff constantly. Because stuff's coming at us constantly, isn't it? The world is throwing all sorts of horrible information at us all the time. I think I was speaking on our Route 61 course on Thursday night. You know, if something tragic happens in Indonesia, you'll hear about it within hours. Some tragedy or some disaster in South America or, you know, somebody gets eaten by a polar bear in Canada or something, you know. You hear about it. We get all of this information. You can't just retain it all. And what do you do about it? What do you do about it anyway? Seriously, you hear all this information. What's it for? Are you seriously praying into these things or not? Probably not, if you're honest. I don't. I just think, no. It's just another piece of information. We need to get this information out of our minds. I want to challenge you to think about, how will I do that? I'm not going to insult you by suggesting how you do that. Ask God to show you where your life is full of information. Where is things coming in? What do you need less of in terms of information to get things right for you? The second thing is peace on earth. Let me just read that scripture out to you. Famous one. It's what the angels said at the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. It's the say to nativity plays and things, don't they? You know, peace to all men, peace on earth. Sounds great, doesn't it? We crave it, don't we? When we hear about wars and things and rumours of wars, which the Bible talks about, which are normal signs of the coming of the end of the age and the coming of Jesus, that there'll be wars and rumours of wars. It's what the Bible says. But when we hear about those things, we don't like it. And some people get disturbed by those things. Oh, this, what's going on? It's terrible, all these disasters. And we don't have peace on earth. It's a lovely thought, isn't it? That we should all get on. We should be have no enemies, and everybody should be nice to each other. And can't we just tolerate each other and just accept everything, and there'll be peace? Well, there isn't. There isn't peace on earth. And even in our own lives, we don't have it at that level either. In our families, where there's a lack of peace and circumstances and situations, in our work situations, and in the neighbourhood where we live sometimes. I mean, if you could just have peace in your family, wouldn't that be enough sometimes? It's like Christmas, all the family come round. Ooh, great. We should get together once a year. It's really important. It's Christmas. Yay. Sometimes it's just hard work, isn't it? Families, peace in families, that would be a wonderful thing to have. We don't always have it. All sorts of troubling, quarrelling, and old wounds that go back so far. You can't even remember how it started. Somebody said something or did something. Oh, I've met loads of people like that. One of my mates in the army, he said, haven't you got a sister? He says, yes, how's she doing? He said, oh, I mean, I saw him, you know, a few years ago. He said, oh, we haven't spoken for 25 years. Haven't spoken for 25 years. I said, why not? He said, oh, it's a long story. I thought, I bet it is, but it's 25 years, isn't it? I mean, whatever, sometimes something starts and you forget what the start of it could be because you just carry it on. Wanting to vindicate ourselves, whatever. Quarrelling, homes, terrible. Trauma. Illness. Satan. Satan isn't, if you're a Christian, Satan is not out to make your life difficult. Just thought I'd let you off with that one. No. He's trying to kill you. Trying to kill you. To stop you being effective. If you're a Christian, you're really dangerous. It means that you could tell somebody else about Jesus and they could get saved. And for that reason alone, Satan wants to kill you. There's all sorts of things. Not amen. Oh no, should we? Oh heck. I can't be cheered. I don't want any peace. Satan's trying to kill me. There's all sorts of trauma and tragedy in your home. When I had an accident years ago. When I was 26, I had my leg amputated after I had an accident. And that was trauma. Trauma. I was massively into Keep Fit and, running around. And, you can tell that by looking at me, obviously. No, I'm kidding. And it's genetics. And drugs. No, I'm kidding. And so it was really difficult for me. One minute I think I'm Superman. The next minute, I'm a disabled person, and I have no concept of what that means or how it will affect us and our family, what that was like for us. Andy was 16 months old. I remember him crawling up onto my chest in the hospital, like grabbed my face and looked at me, I remember looking at him. He had no idea what had happened to me. He was just like, playing. Marion was pregnant with our second son. Trauma. Oh, the peace, any peace that I did have, and I was a bit of a mess, I wasn't a Christian, done all sorts of stupid things in my life, I had no peace, but I tell you, at that moment, it just, whatever chance there was of peace, completely went. That was on the 28th of March, 1985. On the 13th of January, 1996, when I asked Jesus to come into my life, instant peace about a whole range of stuff, and instantly, and most dramatically, firstly being forgiven for my sin and going to heaven, and then, about losing my leg. Let me tell you the honest truth. I don't care. I honestly don't care. People often pray for me for my leg to grow back, and I think, great, feels good. But I don't think about it that much. I met Ian Duffy, one of the leaders here. I met him for a coffee one time over the summer, and I walked in with my shorts on. He went, "Oh, brother, I forgot you had a false leg." And I said, "Yeah, me too." Because it's just not on my mind. I'm thinking of better things, better places. I'm just using this body till I get to heaven. The trauma and tragedy of life. Sometimes in life, seriously, things can happen in our families that rob us of peace in a way that is much more difficult than if it's a stranger. That's the truth of life, isn't it? It's like a bucket with a hole in it, and you're trying to fill it up. You've got the hose in. The hose is going full belt. But the bucket isn't filling up because there's a hole in it. And sometimes it's like that with God. You know the Holy Spirit is pouring into your life. But there's an area of your life where you have no peace. Some pain, some niggle, something in your home which is constant. It's always, always, always there. But here's the truth. The Holy Spirit is always, always, always pouring in. If that's you, if you have something in your life like that, let me encourage you. Keep looking to God. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If you have a difficulty in your life, it's really important to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day and have his peace constantly flowing in. So that hole doesn't become so jagged, becomes a little bit smaller. The edge is a little bit smoother. The truth is, it might always be there. That's the truth, isn't it? It might always be there. But if you're looking to God, looking to God, there's always something in you to sustain you. How do we get this peace on earth? It's through forgiveness. People say that, you know, time is a healer. It isn't. Time is not a healer. God is a healer. Give God time to heal you. Don't let just time do it. It won't work. You have to ask God to heal you. And it might be difficult circumstances. And it might take a while. That's just the truth of it. But get God involved. Please do. Don't try to do it by yourself. Forgiveness is how we get peace on earth. Peace. You know, the Bible says, Jesus says, you know, forgive. If you don't forgive someone, God won't forgive us. It's the hardest scripture, isn't it? Oh, I want to receive forgiveness. Great. Well, forgive everybody that's hurt you then. What, really? It's the hardest thing to do. When someone's really hurt you, to forgive them. Now, you understand this. You're not letting them off. And you're not necessarily going to them and shaking hands with them and saying, there, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It's deeply hurt you. But you can forgive them. Even if they've died. Even if they're someone you have no contact with. You can forgive them. Forgiveness is difficult. We've just, our Andy's doing our ensuite and changing it and stuff, and we've had it 20 years, so we thought we'd have a bit of a change. And the new glass door arrived for the shower unit, smashed. So I had to take a photograph of it. I'm not very technological, so this was big stress for me. I had to take a photograph, put that photograph on a computer, and then email it. Took me days. I was so stressed. I had no peace. And then and I forgot all this. And so I had to go back. The second one was delivered. That was smashed. I was at work, thank goodness. And but Marion was there. And she phoned the company and said, oh, look, this, it's smashed again. They said, well, when we put it on the truck, it was fine because we take photographs of it before we send it. It must be the guy who's delivering it. And Marion stopped and said, oh, can you take it back? And he wasn't very happy with this guy. So he picked up this thing and he took it down our driveway and left a massive trail of broken glass all the way down the driveway and then a massive circle of broken glass at the end, and then he put it on the truck. And then he got in the truck, and as he got in to drive off, he said to Marion, clear that up, will you, love? And drove off. Marion was fuming. She went upstairs, got her old karate kit out. and Andy said, really helpfully, you've just got to forgive him, ma'am. She said, I know what to do, but it's a process. It is a process, isn't it? Forgiving is very difficult. It's an act of will to forgive. You choose to do it. You choose to do it. And you know what? When it's really hard, guess here's the truth. You can't do it. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Start there. Lord, I know you want me to do this, but I can't do it on my own. I need you. I need your power. I need your help and your words. I need your encouragement. I need your counsel. I can't do it on my own. Will you help me do it? That's a start. Asking God to help you. Get him involved in your situations. Learn to forgive. Learn to be quick to forgive. And finally, peace with God. Peace with God. We need to make peace with God. You know, ultimate peace like I said at the beginning, only comes from God. When I was a kid, I used to watch cowboy films. I was a massive cowboy fan. I think I was a cowboy, actually. But anyway, I used to absolutely love them. High Chaparral, who remembers that? Yeah, come on. We should have a High Chaparral meeting, talk about the old days. Fantastic. Manolito and all that. And absolutely fantastic. And one of the things they used to do was if they were going to, you know, if there was like somebody going to be hung or something, you know, nice like that, they used to say, "Have you made peace with your maker?" I used to think, what the heck are they on about? What does that mean? Who made you? Who's you? But they meant God. Have you made peace with your maker? Ultimately, to make peace with God is the most important thing. In this life, you might not have a lot of peace of mind. In this life, you might not have a lot of peace on earth, but you must make peace with God, because you're headed towards him and you don't want to have him as your enemy. Jesus says, don't fear anyone if they can kill you, but fear him who has the power to throw you into hell. God has that power. We will all come before God. I want to come before him as his friend, don't you? Come before Almighty, all-powerful, all-wonderful God as his friend. We are headed for him, and you can be headed for him, you know, without peace of mind and without peace on earth. You can struggle, but best to have all of it. My dad was a man who didn't really have peace of mind on this earth. He was, his family were really wealthy and very well off. His dad was a governor of some provinces in India. This is in the 1930s. And when the war broke out, my dad was in India. And, before that, when he was a kid, he was brought up in India. And he was sent home from India to England to boarding school when he was 7. And he'd see his mum once a year. And on the holidays, he would go to, a family friend for holidays and things. He'd see his mum once a year. And I think during that time period, from 7 to 17, he only saw his dad 3 times over that time period. And he was bullied at boarding school. Yeah, I mean, you know, he was really strict as well. Very strict. And he was bullied. And he hated it. And it affected him for most of his life. When he was 44, my mum and dad separated. My mum left home. And my dad never remarried. He was lonely. He was always on his own from 44 until he died at 79. He's quite lonely as well, you know. And but when he gave his life to Jesus, he was a man of real peace. It was amazing, absolutely amazing to see all these circumstances of his life. And it was always like, you know, sad for me sometimes to see that my life was going better than my dad's had gone. And he wasn't bitter, but he didn't have peace until he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And when he was dying, I went to visit him. And he couldn't really talk very well. He's losing his voice a little bit. And he said to me, I want to, will you get the Bible? So I got the Bible for him, and he couldn't hold it up. So I, like, you know, leant on the bed next to him and held the Bible up so he could see it. And his finger was a bit shaky, but he'd hold his finger up. So that, you know, he asked me to sort of flick through till he got to a bit, and like John's Gospel was his favourite. Then he'd run his fingers along the words, and I'd read it out loud. And he said to me, "I just want to read the Bible until I fade away." Peace with God, real peace. That's when you know someone has real peace. Facing their death with peace. Could you do that? Could you face your death with absolute peace? Making peace with God is the sort of key into all the other areas of peace, peace of mind, peace on earth. Peace is promised by God. The punishment, you see scriptures, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, on Jesus. Jesus' punishment for my sin and for your sin brought peace to me and to you. It's perfect. It's promised by God. It's perfected by God. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. If you don't really know the book of Isaiah and you're a Christian, I encourage you, read the book of Isaiah regularly. The prophecies and the things about Jesus are absolutely beautiful. I know some Jewish people that become Christians said, when we were kids, we weren't allowed to read Isaiah 53. Read Isaiah 53. You'll see why. And also, peace is applied by the Holy Spirit. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace. Promised by God, perfected by Jesus, applied and kept in you by the Holy Spirit. Brilliant. And it's eternal. Again in Isaiah, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Absolute peace. Will there ever be peace on earth? Oh, yeah, there will be. But only when Jesus comes back, not before. When Jesus comes back, then there will be peace on this earth. But as Christians, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you can access that peace, that heavenly peace for yourself. How? Well, there's only one way: to repent and turn to Jesus, to turn away from our sin. I was thinking about this today. Billy Graham, great American evangelist, he was 97 yesterday. What an awesome man of God. Preaching for years and years and years about repentance, turning away from our sin. Tom was absolutely spot on with his communion talk. We're all the same in here, you understand that. Standing up here with a microphone means nothing. There's no difference between us. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. Me and Tom work at the university. We're sociologists, and everybody, you know, keeps going, it's all about different people groups and equality. And we know, sociologists, that equality doesn't exist in this world. It only exists in one place, at the foot of the cross, where we come to Jesus Christ. We're all sinners, and we all need forgiveness. It's there that every man and woman and child is absolutely equal. And God, it says in John's Gospel, chapter 1, God gives you and me the right to become children of God. You have the right to come to Jesus Christ tonight if you don't know him. No one can stop you. That's a nice thought, isn't it? No one can stop you coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And if there's any Christians that have ever made it difficult for you, can I encourage you to forgive them? And if any of us in here have ever offended you, please will you forgive us? Don't let us come between you and God. Please don't do that. Come to Jesus Christ. Exercise your right and receive forgiveness from Jesus. Turn to Jesus Christ. Turn to the cross of Jesus. Get washed in the blood. Be forgiven. Be set free. Begin this amazing journey with peace of mind. Peace in your home, in your heart. You know, the Bible talks about a peace that transcends all understanding. That means peace when you shouldn't have it. Peace when everything else is out of control, but you still have peace anyway. Peace in those circumstances, that's what it means. And you can only have that through God. There's no anger management course that'll do that. There's no counting to 10 and biting your lip that'll do that. But one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. One of my problems when I became a Christian was... Well, no, sorry. One of my problems before I became a Christian was my anger. I was a really angry person. I didn't know how to deal with it. But when I read that in Galatians chapter 5, I thought, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And I remember saying to God, I have no idea what that means, but can I have it, please? And so you might be sitting here tonight thinking, I don't understand all of this, but can I have it, please? Should we pray together? Just close your eyes, and I'll pray for you.